response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
That's the two roads. If the Kings get it together, they'll make a play-in or a playoff run or whatever in the first round. If everything goes good, but then if, like you said, they just fall apart, then you're gonna have to start asking those questions. You know, like what are we gonna do with Sabonis? Is he gonna be happy? What are we gonna do with coaching? How are we gonna construct this roster, because we haven't been able to construct it correctly so far? So there's gonna be a lot of questions just depending on how these next couple of games go.
Let me ask both of you guys though. Do you think that's the right way to go about it? Everything you said, like it goes wrong, everybody's out of here.
Yeah,
is that the right way to go about it?
Can I say I don't think it's going to be the Kings' decision. I don't think those guys are going to want to be here.
Well, those two players, but it's the Kings' decision for the front office. It's the Kings' decision for Doug Christie.
Doug should be here.
Go about that.
Doug's done his job. Doug should be here.
It's like he said, they're trying to fix the plane, but it's already up in the air.
But go ahead. Is that the right decision?
You don't want to be too overreactive, but at the same time, yeah, if you're losing and guys want out, you want to move them while you can still get some value for them. You don't want to sit around and wait too long, like Kings have waited around too long. Like when you want to move Barnes and other players, Herter, you kept people too long and their value diminished. So you want to make some decisions quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you want to have a vision. Like D'Lo was saying, you don't want to be Utah or Charlotte. I definitely don't want to be Utah. They're tanking and I don't know what they're doing. So if it was me, honestly, I think, as I said before, I think they're close. They definitely have to retool. I wouldn't tear it down just yet, but I would understand if people wanted to.
I think if you're bringing back Doug next year, then you have to bring back the front office.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing how the Kings are dysfunctional, all that, I just don't get just doing it backwards again, where you keep the coach and hire the GM, and it's just this constant cycle you're going. Like, I don't think you can do that. Like, at one point, you have to do the right thing, whether it hurts, I guess.
I hear you. I think what it really boils down to, what do you think? You asked the question.
I kind of, you dropped the bar weeks ago, and it stays in my head. It can't just keep firing people.
Yeah.
Things I said, that's the one you remember.
You just can't. And I'm not even saying that these guys are the right guys. Talking about the front office or Doug Christie, I think Doug Christie is a good coach. Mm-hmm. But, you just can't keep firing people. And it doesn't matter for me, because I'm going to still go to the games. Obviously, we got a job to do. We're going to cover them. Okay. I'm going to still be locked into what's going on. But, you know, a whole nother regime. Mm-hmm. You're talking about 5 to 7 years.
Has this group had enough time though?
This group?
Yeah, like I get not firing people over and over, but this is Monty and Wes's fifth year or sixth?
I think it's fifth.
What year is it for D'Lo and KC? It's their fifth year.
Yeah.
Because Vlade was fired the 2 days before the show started.
So yeah, just my question is, have they had enough time though to just get it right? Like maybe we're just at the end of it now.
Maybe. I mean, you can absolutely make the argument they've had enough time. Like, I'm not going to necessarily argue against that point.
Like, I get the whole, like, you don't want to fire people over and over, but it's been 5 years already. Like, what are we doing? We might just be one playoff season out of that.
Yeah.
Well, that's the tough part. If you do say, hey, they've had enough time, they've missed on draft picks, they weren't able to acquire different players and things like that, I would totally understand that argument. But then if you want to bring in somebody new, then you got to see where their vision is going to be. Are they okay with Doug Christie, or are they going to want their own guy?
Here's something that's just registering with me. Mm-hmm. Didn't Monty bring back Luke? Am I wrong?
Yes.
Monty brought back Luke.
Yeah, the first season.
Then fired him.
Yeah. I remember the players were saying, oh, this isn't
then
Luke.
Mike.
We want Luke. Yeah.
Now, the difference was he didn't sign Luke. Like, he didn't re-sign him. It was
Brought him back.
Yeah. People were like, he should be fired.
Yes.
And he decided not to fire him. Well, Mike.
And then fired him 17 games into the next season.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No. It's bad.
Like,
I definitely understand.
I don't, like, and then you fired Mike 31 games after, like, you literally fired Mike 31 games after giving him an extension.
Mm-hmm. It's rough. What can you explain to me, like, whatever, like, what went wrong with Mike? Mm-hmm. I understand, like, the locker room might have been lost, but what was, like, their big thing with Mike that gave them so much, like,
I think
pushback?
You just said it.
Just the locker room? Yeah. I mean, that's big.
Yeah. I think you just said it.
Yeah. And I think it feels like it was kind of split down the middle. Mm-hmm. You know, there was people who believed in Mike, whether that was coaches or players, and there was coaches and players who thought a lot of what he was saying was complete nonsense.
Yeah, but he got the results. He's part of that team that broke that drought.
He did. He did get the results, and then it just declined after that. Like this, it's the same argument we used to justify firing Mike Brown. Mm-hmm. That you could use to justify firing the front office. Monty McNair was executive of the year. He got him to the playoffs.
That's true.
But people are like, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
And that's the same thing that happened with Mike Brown. So,
the rough part is the drafting for me. That's what sticks out the most.
The drafting is a big issue.
Yeah.
And one of the things, and maybe I'm not in those positions, so it's easier for me to say. But I still feel like they got people that always looking to blame somebody else. Like the front office is the front office,
mm-hmm.
and they just did what they did, right? But what that got to do with you not playing defense,
yeah,
or missing free throws in the clutch?
We talked about free throws for years with this team.
You know what I'm saying? Like. Mm-hmm. Like, what is that? Like, I don't know how that equates. Like, if they, all things considered, if they would handle business on the court
mm-hmm.
in just the most simplistic form last year, making free throws.
Yes.
Beating the Wizards.
Beating the Pelicans just once or twice, please.
Like, that ain't got nothing to do with, to me, nothing to do with Monty McNair or Vivek. Mm-hmm. You didn't handle business, but you didn't handle business. And then you go, and you say, well, I can't do it because it's just it's a mess around here. You can't make your free throws because it's a mess around here?
Yeah, you got to hit the free throws. Come on.
So it's not necessarily those moments, but it's I can't get it done because of what's going on around here that bothers me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear
like,
you.
Do what you're supposed to do. If you're doing everything that you're supposed to do and it's still chaotic, and you don't want to be around the chaos, I completely understand that. But you're not playing good defense. You're shooting bricks up there.
Kevin Herter. Oh.
You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. that's on you. That's on that in my opinion. So that's the and there's still too much of that. Like, and I'm not much like you. I'm not gonna go in on him because he didn't do anything yet. But, you know, I'm wanting to see clarity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bro, you on the team and we not doing nothing.
Yeah.
We can't stop nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You shooting the ball 5 times in a game.
Shoot more.
What you talking about?
Yeah.
So.
And all signs point to you didn't like the guy that was traded.
Well, that too.
Like, there's a lot of evidence pointing to this is kind of being built around you.
Yeah.
What question? There is a lot of evidence that supports that theory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But again, not there. Oh, but I'm ready. Boy, I'm ready.
Right. And even with, and like I said, I'm not here to even talk crazy about Fox, but you were threatening.
Keenan Fox's season is over, by the way, for those that missed that.
Yeah, well, soon, my guy. But you were given this franchise an ultimatum, don't fire this coach. And then you're part of the team that comes out and is 13-18.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like you wanted them here, and you can't galvanize these guys, or you can't do what you're supposed to do to make sure this team is successful.
He had all the motivation in the world to have a good season. Between Mike Brown, one keep him around, between one get all NBA and all that, and the contract and all that, he had all the motivation in the world. Yet when he came out and played, it didn't seem like he was all bought in. Are you in or are you out?
Well, look, even that, and then when they do what they have to do, then you mad. What you want them to do? Just stay here and you guys keep losing because that's what you want?
Before
what
Mike,
are you talking about?
Before they fired Mike, they were like on a 7-game losing streak or something. They lost to the Lakers. They lost to the Pacers.
They lost 5 in a row at home.
Yeah. It was, they had to do something.
So they're just, and I don't know if that isn't just this group. There's people in the past or whatever. I don't know if it's ever going to change. I don't know if you have the person who is going to change that. But everybody always looking for somebody. Like now, like you mentioned it yesterday, now everything is Anjali's fault.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's always a boogie person.
Yeah. Like it's always somebody else's fault. Mm-hmm. I for once will want to hear somebody, if they're getting fired or if they're here or they're traded or whatever. Man, I didn't do my part. I could have done better.
Yeah, you could play defense.
Nobody says that ever in Sacramento. It's always somebody else's fault.
Yeah, they're always looking for someone to blame. And like you said, there's always a boogeyman behind the scenes, someone that's making these decisions. But at the end of the day, you're the players on the court. You got to be accountable.
No.
I feel like that's all the more reason to just rebuild after this year. Like who?
But who's the architect?
That's the thing.
It's the thing. You clean house with everyone, and Vivek has to hire a president of basketball operations. One guy. You don't hire two guys from the same interview process either.
But you've cleaned house before.
But you do it the right way, finally.
There has to be an acknowledgement that Vivek is part of the problem.
Yeah, he is. He definitely is. Hiring the two guys from the same interview process was a bad idea.
A massive failure.
Is the head of the snake of all this dysfunction, I guess you want to call that. He's the top of the top, but he's not going anywhere. He's not selling. So eventually, he's just gotta hope he hires the right guy, and they act like a decent front office for once. You need to do it the right way. Not multiple guys talking or whatever. One guy makes the decisions, and everything runs through him.
And also, somebody put your foot down. Monty, if you're the GM, put your foot down and be the GM.
Yeah.
Or leave. Or say, I'm going to leave. Like, all right, there's two guys here from the interview process. I'm making the decisions or I'm not. Put your foot down.
Yeah.
Like, handle your business. If you're going to be the GM and it's all going to fall on you, then say, look, this is how it's going to go, or you can find another GM. Move on.
What do you think is going to happen around the draft? What do you think they might do?
They don't draft the wrong person, because they always do.
Yeah. I mean, just look at this year's draft.
That was harsh.
Oh. I don't want to get on.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
But, like, even in this year's draft, there's so many guys I wish we would have got, from McCain to Jalen Wells to Connect. There's so many good people that they always seem to miss. And that's has been happening repeatedly. You go back to Davion's draft, you missed on Shingun, went after him, I believe. There's just always players out there.
Well, it's fair to say in that situation, their strategy has failed them, because they don't want to draft nobody young.
Yeah, they
always
never
draft anybody that can't drink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they always want someone
right.
Like that's been in college 3 or 4 years, and
that hasn't worked. I mean, Keegan is good. Yeah. So maybe that's the one time it worked, but other than that, it don't work. And that's their pattern at this point. That's what they do. They don't take no chances on anybody young.
Sometimes you got to take a chance.
You want to hang out?
Yeah, I'll hang out.
We'll come back. We'll talk more Kings basketball. It's not positive. And we'll have some fun. Maybe we'll have Leezy spell some more words when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, let's get TC in here. I feel like we should get Matt George in here. Matt, I looked down and Matt said, hey, great conversation. And then I realized he had sent 4 texts before that responding to things that
Matt
we were
George
saying.
Want the link?
I don't know. Matt, let us know. I'm sorry, it was TC, right? Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. What's up, TC?
What's up with my two brothers?
What's up, man?
3 brothers.
Leezy, well, yeah, I know. Leezy, what's up? I was trying to get that out. Leezy, what's up, man?
Hey, what's good, TC? What's good, kinfolk?
that's my boy, Leezy. Wow, boy. Hey, nah, but look, so truly, I'm a little frustrated, but at the same time, like, I believe Doug already got the job, right, with the upper, like, this. They want Doug to be the guy anyway, right? So at this point, Doug, like, bro, you're going to have to start making your.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man.
Hold on, we lost you, big dog. We lost you.
Hold on. Leezy. Your boy TC is struggling.
TC, what do you want to talk about, firing Shanahan?
Okay, try it again.
Nah, listen. My bad. That was my GPS. Nah, we ain't even talking about Niners right now, man. They didn't sign McCorkle, bro. It's a clown show over there. We ain't talking about that. Listen, we talking about the Kings right now, bro. We talking about Doug Christie making hard decisions, right? But you want to sit on and have that talk, dude. What either, you know what I mean? You want to have that talk with Zero, or you want to have that talk with the boy DeRozan, man? Ken, hey, dog. Something's going to have to give. Something's going to have to give, dog. Like, the whole ruffle and feathers, Hall of Famer. Like, I get it. I get what you're saying, Kenny, the basketball metrics. But, bro, you got to have, that's coaching. Coaching, you got to sit players down and all that. Like, if you're a coach, you would never be a successful coach thinking like, man, I can't sit people. I can't do this. I don't want to ruffle feathers. You might be a Hall of Famer. Bro, you're going to be out the league coaching like that. You got to make hard decisions, dog. That's all I got, man.
What?
Doug, I make hard decisions.
So you're talking about Doug.
Yeah.
Okay. I think was he referring to DeMar?
I think
he went DeMar out of the lineup or Zach LaVine out of the starting lineup. Like that. I mean, that's where we're at.
All right.
And this is the thing.
All right.
Look, people, they can play better, and people just still feel the same way. Like, I'm not saying that everybody had a change of heart a week ago with the starters or anything else like that because they were playing well. They could have been playing well and you still felt the same thing. You just weren't as vocal because they were winning. No. But we weren't having these conversations a week ago.
No.
They were playing well, obviously the competition, whatever. But we weren't saying Monk shouldn't be out there against Houston.
Nope.
This feels like the new breaking case of emergency thing, like just last resort for the Kings now.
Yeah, just get somebody out of the starting line.
Like, Keon Ellis is not changing anything the rest of the season.
For real.
I agree. And
the issue at hand is just you don't have the right personnel for what you want to run or whatever. Like, then you're going to have to deal with that the rest of the season. But you could throw Keon Ellis in Monk's spot, like nothing's changing.
Another thing
people are starting to get on LaVine. They're like, oh, we want LaVine to shoot more. I remember when LaVine got here, they're like, he's just going to be chucking it up. And now they want him to chuck it. Like, why don't he shoot more?
Yesterday was egregious, though.
Yeah.
Six shots. That was egregious. That was.
Yeah, you can't do that.
That was not okay.
I don't even think I realized until Kyle said it. He said it to me yesterday. That Zach only shot 10 times against New York. Mm. Yeah, 16 in two games for a guy who's playing the way that he is. You can't do that. We've had that frustration with Fox before.
Right.
That's true. You can't do that. And Domas isn't there.
Right.
Yeah. You can't do that.
You do have to be the first option.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, why do you think he's playing like this? Do you think he's still trying to figure out the offense, or do you think he's just trying to find his role? Like, why isn't he being more aggressive? Because we know he can get his buckets. Like, why is he?
I think this is who Zach LaVine is. After seeing him for a month or so, he just does not force the issue.
No. He's efficient when he tries, but
yeah, he doesn't really take bad shots. He takes what the defense gives him, and I think that's who he is. And sometimes you got to color outside the lines.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And I don't think that's necessarily how he plays basketball a lot of the time. And it's ironic because people look at him as just this chucker or whatever the case may be.
Yeah,
but unless something has changed this year with him, and maybe it has because he's been the most efficient he's ever been in his career this year. That's not who he is. Like, Zach is, it feels like he's never going to force shots.
No.
Like, he's going to take what the defense
gives
him.
It's Domas, right? Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Takes what the defense gives you. And yeah, like you said, there's a lot of times.
Got a bunch of guys who won't just be jerks with the ball every once in a while.
Shoot it.
Yeah, like, screw you guys. I'm going to get my shots up.
Yeah.
Neither one of them will do that.
I think it was the Denver game. It was DeRozan. DeRozan was getting up a lot of shots, and he started off hot. But then, like, I think in the second half, he came out, and he's a lot colder. And those are those type of games where we're like, hey, Zach, take over. It's your turn. Yeah. So, yeah, sometimes it can be definitely frustrating watching him play sometimes. Mm.
Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Let's see what Manny talking about. Manny, what's up, baby?
Hey, what's up, y'all? Leezy, you're doing a great job, brother. Keep it up, man. I got two points to make, one about LaVine and one about Monk, right? With LaVine, and when him and DeRozan were on the Bulls, their most successful year, obviously, was when Ball was running the point because Ball was doing anything to get the ball to them in the positions that they that were good for them and elevated their game. And then once Ball got hurt, what hurt LaVine is he tried to take over the team. He would chunk up shots and take bad shots, and he felt the wrath from the fans and I think the media over there. And I think after last year, he kind of looked internally, and you saw the press conference he had at the beginning of this year, and he elevated his game where he was more selective and he tried to get in the flow of the offense. And I think that is who he is now. Yeah. And regarding Monk, I really hate the criticism that he's been getting because you're asked that dude after Fox left to take over a starting position and change the way he plays his game and facilitating more and being more selective and, for better lack of a term, less reckless the way he plays. And it's a learning process. And it's not his fault that the personnel is what it is and that you ask him to learn this position the way you want him to play it so quick and so fast. And that's something that takes time for him to kind of, you know, elevate and morph his game into what you want him to be more of. And to ask him to do that in a 10-game set, a 15-game set, that's ridiculous. Like, he's going to make a lot of mistakes in trying to learn how to run this team. And we don't even know if this is going to be the team he runs in the future. I don't know if he is a starting point guard or not, but I know he needs more than 10 to 15 games before people start saying he needs to go to the bench, because there's not much else. There's not many other players. There's nobody there right now that can do what you're asking your point guard to do right now.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with Manny. The problem is, you know, we just don't have a lot of time.
How many times did Stan Van say last night they don't have a true point guard?
A couple. Often.
Man, you'd be drunk if you just – you didn't even have to take a shot. Just take a sip every time he said it and you laid out on the floor.
Yeah. Often. And Malik Monk – that's not who he is today.
Yeah.
Can he get to that? I don't know. You know, that's to be proven, but today they don't have that.
And he's banged up. He's banged up.
He's playing through a little something as well.
If you're building a team, I don't think there's ever a time where you want Malik Monk to be your starting point guard. Like, I don't think, do you think you get the best of Malik Monk out of like doing that? Is Malik Monk the same player that he is coming off the bench as the sixth man that he is being your starting point guard?
Today, no. I mean, today, that's not the best version of Malik Monk you can get. The question is, you know, can he...
Like, he's never been a point guard. Why are we going to make him that now at this point in his career? It's a Band-Aid move to me.
It is a Band-Aid move. It's something short-term for now, till you can adjust the roster,
so,
hopefully.
Okay, let's work with that then. It's a Band-Aid move. So what do you do then?
We're stuck now.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, what is the conversation we're having? Is the conversation simply Malik or
whether
Keon?
You want Keon Ellis to start now?
So,
or Malik
okay,
Monk now?
So let's definitively say Keon Ellis is a starting point guard.
Okay,
you're asking that question.
That's very much a question.
Yeah, he's never been a point guard either.
No. Oh,
that's not his job. No,
okay, because there's a lot of like authoritative talk about what Keon Ellis would be in the starting lineup.
Feels like a move of desperation if you're moving Keon to the starting lineup. Like, yeah. Sure.
Well, no, it doesn't feel desperate to me. It just feels like we got to try something different.
That's the thing. Like, we're at the end
and maybe
of the season.
That's desperate. I don't know.
That's how I see it. It's just not. We're at the end of the season. You're already doing starting lineup changes. Hopefully this works this time. Like, this is what it is.
Yeah. That's the other thing. We're probably late in the game to change the starting lineup like that. Like, you got to – these guys got to figure it out.
Let's not forget, didn't Malik start out crazy? When Mike put him into the starting lineup, like him individually, wasn't he playing really well?
He played really well.
Good,
as a starter.
Okay, but he sucks now.
But he also wasn't.
He wasn't facilitating.
Well, he wasn't point guard, right? Yeah. Okay.
Duties.
I got you.
Okay. But yeah, I mean,
so the issue isn't he's a starter. He isn't a starter. The issue is he isn't a starting point guard.
He's not a starting point guard. Mm-hmm. The other thing too is
De'Aaron was traded at the end of January, right? Beginning of February. Is that right?
Yeah, February 5th, 4th.
Okay.
Like
it was so they beat Minnesota. So, yep, they got okay, so they got blown out by the Oklahoma City Thunder, lost by 34. I guess he got traded February 2nd or February 3rd cuz that's when they beat Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to take a quick peek at something. I think I can make this work. That's 14 games. Malik missed a couple along the way. 16 points per game, just under 6 assists, 81% from the free throw line, 28%. 28% from three, 40% from the field. Those are Malik's numbers as, I guess you would say, the starting point guard for the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, he's not playing. And that's this was the argument I had for Kyle and anybody else. Malik just has to play better. Like, that's what it is. It's not him being a point guard or not being a point guard. If he's playing better, more efficiently, making shots the way he is,
not turning it over,
then they'll be fine. Whether he's starting or coming off the bench, like wherever that happens is where it happens. I'm not here to necessarily argue with that, but that's the crux of it. If he can find a way to be more efficient, shoot the ball better as the starting point guard, the Kings will be fine. That won't be an issue. It won't be an issue that he's not a true point guard, that they don't have a point guard in the lineup. He's got to make his shots, and he's not doing that at a efficient rate right now.
Skitty Biz in here. Elk Grove Kid Talk Line's buzzing right now, 916-909-1320. E-Biz, what's happening, baby?
What's cracking, y'all, man? What's up? What's up, man? What's up, Leland?
What's
good
up, E-Biz?
Good to hear you on the radio.
Hey, thank you.
All right. For sure, man. So what I was thinking, I wanted to ask you guys about this. I'm on lunch right now. I was listening to you guys. Matter of fact, I ain't doing that good. I've been listening to y'all during class and all that. But anyways, I think Monk is good, but I think for the most part, you guys, is we really need just a point guard. I know Manny, I like everything he was saying, but what I was doing, I was looking at for any free agents this upcoming offseason, and I wanted to ask you guys, like, do you guys really feel that we need to try to make a trade for somebody, or do you feel...
Nah, there's no point in having this conversation today about who to trade for to fill that point guard position, because we have no idea who's going to be on this roster, who's running this team, who the head coach is. We know nothing. There is no, don't look at free agent lists. Don't create trade targets. Stay off the stupid trade machine. None of that is relevant right now. Mm-hmm. We have no clue. I ask you this, is DeMar back? Is Domas back?
We don't know.
Is Doug back? Is Monty back? Is Wes back? Only thing we know, Vivek will be here. We know that. And I'm pretty confident Zach LaVine will be here. So what are we doing? Like, there's no point in having this conversation. Do the Kings need to find a point guard? Sure. Fine. But, like, talking about trades and free agent acquisitions, you're wasting your energy.
Yeah.
We ain't there yet.
No.
And to me,
I remember the good old days when we thought Lonzo Ball was going to be like on a buyout contract.
Right.
Man got a contract extension.
Right. Got paid too.
Man.
And it goes back to me. You talked about it a little bit earlier. We talked about it a number of different times. Is not having drafted well. It's brutal.
Well, that's
brutal because you traded a guy that could have been a point guard if you were losing De'Aaron Fox. And then I'm talking about Davion Mitchell. And then you got a guy in Devin Carter who, I guess, cosplays for a point guard, but he's not a point guard. Like, I don't know why he was ever getting that label. I don't know why people kept calling him that. I can look at his game for 5 minutes and say, this is not a point guard.
Yeah, that's not.
This is a combo guard. This isn't a guy that leads a team. He's more of a finisher than anything, if you want to put him in any type of category.
Yeah.
But he's not a facilitator and the guy that orchestrates the offense. And you have to trade De'Aaron Fox, and now you're left with no point guard.
Yeah.
Now, you could have, you know, the fact that you weren't able to get anything, get a Trey Jones or something back, or a Tyus Jones in that deal is frustrating in itself.
I wanted Schroeder. Schroeder got traded like 8 times, but he couldn't land over here in Sacramento. He's a vet. He can hit threes. He can organize the offense. That's who I wanted, but it didn't go that way. And like you said, it's frustrating with Carter because...
Is he in Miami? Was he a part of the Jimmy deal? Where'd he go?
Schroeder.
Schroeder left the Warriors.
Where is he right now?
He got traded like 2 different times.
Boy, this feels like TNT.
Feels like Detroit.
That sounds right. It is Detroit.
How'd he get to Detroit?
Yeah, he went to Detroit. Yeah.
He is on Detroit. How the hell did he get there?
That kind of worked out for him.
Did he get bought out somewhere?
Might have.
When he got traded, Maybe he was part of the Wiggins.
He was traded to the Detroit Pistons, who also acquired Lindy Waters in a future second. It was part of the Jimmy deal. It was routed all over America.
Yeah. D'Lo Rodman there.
Oh. You see the- Hey.
Yeah. I thought he was going this way. I'm gonna go that way. Yeah. Goes this way. I'm gonna go this way.
Yeah.
I thought he was using the Magic Johnson first, like, you know, no. That one.
Has playing guys in the wrong positions been a problem with this team? Like, is Keegan a three, or like, I feel like that's been a conversation. Keegan's probably better suited at the three. Monk is here playing.
Well, I think it all boils down to the same thing: roster imbalance. So you're left playing guys at positions you'd probably would prefer not to play them at. And that's why we're here.
Yeah. Well, that, and then it goes in, like, this thing goes further back.
Oh, it's bigger than me and you. Oh.
It's a whole lot of people mm-hmm. part of this one. Mm-hmm. It's the educated brother right here, Kareem Leezy Bar. But, do you think Brandon Ingram was a better fit for this team?
Instead of
DeMar DeRozan. That's what I'm saying, when it goes back. And you feel like you might have had a deal for Brandon Ingram.
I got you.
People said no. So you had to get somebody. You had to get somebody this summer.
Yeah.
And you thought you had one with Brandon Ingram. I'll just say, I won't beat around. Mike Brown said no.
Yeah.
Right, Mike Brown was not a fan.
Now, to be clear, it's not like there was a trade proposed.
Right, it's just the player.
There was a conversation about Brandon Ingram as the player, and he wasn't the low IQ player. That was John Collins, because that was another name that was brought up. I just think he didn't like him.
So after no to Collins. And once again, like I said, I'm not even saying it like he had final say, but he wasn't on board for Collins. Yeah. He wasn't on board for Ingram. You had to go get somebody.
We still don't know what happened with Kuzma in that deal. That's close. We still don't know about that. I don't know.
I think that's a Monty situation. I think he fumbled that one. But you're right. There's that. You had to go get DeMar DeRozan, who was a 6'5", small. Like, that's where the imbalance started. Because you didn't have a natural three. You didn't have a natural three and D type guy. Or if you would have got John Collins, you could move Keegan to the three if you think he's a three and have John Collins at the four. That's where it started to get unbalanced.
Should they have just said, to hell with who you like, Mike, mm-hmm. this is what we're bringing in, and coach him up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we saw what happened there, because Sasha was who they liked, and Mike refused to play him, or didn't think he was playable.
Well,
giving Mike an extension was a mistake.
100%. But the funny thing about Sasha is, Sasha was here for one day. One. This is not an exaggeration. Mm-hmm. One day, mm-hmm. And Mike was like, I don't know if he's gonna play.
It's facts.
You bitches traveled all over the world to see this man play basketball.
Mike was there too.
He shows up to Sacramento and you go, oh, I don't know if he's going to play. Mm-hmm. What was the point?
Yeah. Right. He went over there and saw him play live.
I don't understand. Mm-hmm. There are so many things that don't. What's Mike doing? Can Mike do a tell-all while he's getting paid? Is that frowned upon? Is this like a separation agreement where he can't say anything bad about Sacramento until he's, because none of this, if there was a Sacramento Kings puzzle put in front of us, there's pieces all over the place. Mm-hmm. Some of this wouldn't fit together. We'd be doing the thing where you're like, God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it fits now. Like, we'd be doing that we're getting frustrated because we can't make this work.
It's like the front office and whoever's on the other side was trying to work on their own puzzle with different halves of the same puzzle.
Yeah, everyone's not aligned, clearly.
Yeah, like, guys, like, that's the
They're
thing.
They're
like,
never aligned.
That's why you gotta fire everybody.
Who was the last group aligned here?
For you guys to answer.
So I'm asking,
Lottie and Luke,
has it ever happened under the Vivek Ranadive ownership?
I can't think of.
Beam Team 1 was right?
D'Alessandro and Carl, because that's the guy he wanted.
Wouldn't it be Vlade and Luke? Because Vlade for sure wanted Luke.
Vlade and Luke.
Vlade made his pick.
Yep, you're right.
He's like, Vlade, I'm going with Bagley. So yep, you're right. He got his Vlade coach and his Luke. Pick.
Yep, you're right.
His coaching's pick.
That man out there coaching the Los Angeles Lakers, and he's like, no, that's my guy.
That's my guy.
Well, look, and then to be honest with you,
poor LeBron.
To be honest with you, from everything that we hear, Vivek didn't want Mike Brown.
Allegedly, yes.
Right.
Allegedly.
I think he was cool with Mike Brown.
I think he was too.
Yeah. But story is he wanted Mark Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think he was, even if he like wanted Mark Jackson, you know, more as the coach, when they're like, I think Mike Brown, he's like, I like Mike Brown. I'm cool with that. Like, I think that's maybe how it went down. So I don't think he was just like dead set against Mike Brown. Just do whatever you want, but I want Mark. I don't think that's the case. Mm-hmm. So I think around hiring time, they were aligned. They were on the same page. And somewhere along the lines, it could have, if it feels like when they got through the first season and when it got time to, all right, what we do next, that's when they splintered.
Yeah. It felt like they were just happy to get there to the playoffs. And then after that, what was the plan, you know?
What I'm saying is once that year happened, Beam Team 1 year happened, it was like, this is great. This is what we need to do to get to the next level. Mm-hmm. And that's where they splintered.
Mike had one vision and Monty probably had another.
Yeah. Exactly. So it wasn't like the whole notion of they didn't know what to do. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think both of them had an idea of what to do, and it just wasn't together.
Because like not starting Kevin Huerter, like Kevin Huerter, the way that ended here was not great, but not starting him to start that season made no sense. Mm. Coming off of the like season that you had, like that made no sense to already just kind of tinker with the starting lineup. Maybe that was the start of all of it.
But like I said, I even go to the off season. Like the off season, you point to a guy like Sasha. Like Monty was like, yo, this is how we improve and get better on what we're doing. And Mike was like, no, it's not. This is what you do. You go get Draymond. Or you go get JaVale McGee.
Yeah.
Or you try to trade this player. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is how we elevate.
Well, yeah, it's Mike Brown went more defensive players, and Sasha's not fixing your defense. But, like, I mean, that's a given. But, like you said, he went overseas. He's seen this man play. He should know his game, and it's rough.
I don't even know what to believe anymore. I just had to tell me, wasn't there a story that Vivek's son was sitting in on coaching interviews?
Mm-hmm.
The Athletic article, I think, had him in there that he, early on in Vivek's tenure, like starting out as owner, his son was around more than not, but I don't know about recently.
Yeah. Early, he was around a lot more.
Late. So we abandoned that. Mm-hmm. And now it's now Anjali is the. Okay. Very good. All right. It's fascinating. This is a fascinating franchise.
Never a dull moment.
Just an absolute S show. Great stuff, man. You're doing great.
Thank you.
Lazy Fridays.
Well, he's doing all right. There's one thing that would get him into great status.
No, he's doing.
He's picking doing some damn pizza.
Yeah, he's doing picking exactly. A sports team.
I'll pick.
Well, that too. Yeah. Now you're notched down. Now two notches down. No pizza and you don't have a team.
I got room for improvement. Okay. I'll work on the food and I'll work on my team. No promises yet. Hopefully.
You see the difference? I'm not even talking to either one of you, as a matter of fact.
What?
You see the difference between me and Kenny? I'm trying to help this young brother get better on the radio, and my partner is demanding he brings him pizza.
You're not aligned.
Look.
We're not aligned.
Not aligned.
That's right.
18 points, Tim Rittmills. That's not enough. You got to be like Big Man. When you talk about 26 points, that's being on the radio. That's bringing pizza.
Yeah,
that's what that means. I'm still talking to you. You don't know what to talk about. If you want to be great, 18 and 10, that's not good enough.
You got to tell the whole story.
You need to be on the radio. You need to bring pizza. That's what big guys do. That's what Shaq does.
It's no different than the minor leaguers getting the Starbucks. It's paying dues.
Yeah.
I can do that. I'll work on a diesel. I'll work on it.
Dude works like an hour a week here making $7.
I told him not to spend money on the snack shack. I told him not to spend money on the snack shack. I told him the company's got that one.
don't know what is happening right now.
What restaurant is rationing one strawberry on the waffle?
Kenny's showing up to restaurants where they're giving him one strawberry.
Hey, no, they cut it up or whatever, and you got it there.
Kenny was shocked that we have multiple strawberries on our plates.
Yeah, I'm not shocked. Well, I'd rather have the strawberry syrup.
I'll take a picture of the waffle I get when we go to the pantry. It's going to blow your mind.
I'd rather have the strawberry syrup.
There's nothing wrong with strawberry syrup. Jesse and I were just saying we'd rather have the strawberries.
Yeah.
And Casey's like, well, that's one bite. Like, what?
Four bites max.
Again, why are you only getting one strawberry?
That's how they show it on the thing, man.
It never crossed my mind once, like, there's only one strawberry on this plate. Like, it's always been, like, multiple. I've never come across a commercial.
They've never put a full strawberry on my plate. Yeah. It's always cut up.
Let me see.
Bro, you gotta stop eating the
Denny's. Yeah, it's cut up. It's cut up, but how many strawberries is it?
Like, at least three.
Four?
Okay. Enough for me to have strawberries left over on my last bite.
There you go.
And even if they did, that's fine. I would take the strawberry syrup. That's fine.
Maybe we do stop going to Denny's.
No. Denny's is fine with me. I mean, that's not the only place I need to eat, but I'm not going to stop going to Denny's. Like, I'll go to, where are you going?
The pantry.
I go to the pantry and go to Denny's. Like,
okay. I'm just saying, if they're only putting one strawberry on your plate.
Yeah, and the pantry is not, like, I'm telling you, it's going to blow your mind when you see this waffle I get.
Well.
There's just strawberries everywhere.
Well, once again, just give me the strawberry syrup. So I'm looking at something.
I don't even know if adult restaurants have strawberry syrup.
No, they do.
That's like IHOP.
No, they do. You got to ask for it.
Call the pantry and ask them if they have strawberry syrup.
I don't know nothing about the pantry, but I know the Pancake House in Palos Verdes.
Okay.
The original Pancake House. It's not IHOB either. It's the original Pancake.
What's the one downtown everyone loves?
Cafeteria 15L?
That's a brunch spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ask them if they have strawberry syrup.
They could have it or not. I've been to one of the places, and that's where I started rocking with the strawberry syrup. Cause I was there, and I was like, "Yo,
that's a lie. You didn't have the strawberry syrup at Denny's?
Not before.
I think that's where I had the strawberry syrup first.
No, I would get regular, and then when I was down there in PV, and I went to that original Pancake House, man, and they had some
PV. Was that the show on Stars? What was the show?
Valley.
Oh, my bad. My bad, that was something different. My bad.
Man, I get pancakes at Pete Valley. We got a whole nother.
Boy, you got issues. You probably got diseases. Man.
Yeah, man. When I went to that spot, man, that's what turned me on to the strawberry lemonade ever since I went there. So now I go somewhere and I'll be like, the strawberry syrup. So ever since I went there, I ask. I'll be like, yo, can I get some strawberry syrup? That's what put me on.
I'm gonna ask next week if they
warm it up a little bit. It's a good look.
Huh. They got this hot honey syrup that they put on the chicken and waffles that they have.
Chicken and waffles.
I don't know why I'm so hungry today, man. This is crazy. I feel like Kenny. I just want to like eat the whole show.
I'm looking at Serena Bakes. I don't know where this is. Maybe it's in Sacramento. Maybe it's not.
That sounds like a person.
There's a gang of strawberries on this waffle with whipped cream.
All right. See that? Okay. We don't need to turn this thing into dessert. Well, of course, I get chocolate on mine. So who am I talking?
Are you guys talking about something like this? Like, it's a gang of waffles. Gang of strawberries.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good look.
Yeah, it's a gang of strawberries.
That looks like a strawberry shortcake.
Yeah. It's all good. It's all good.
This is what happened when the Kings get their ass kicked.
Oh, wait. We
talk about breakfast food or brunch food or whatever.
Two things real quick, and then we'll get back to basketball.
Being mad at the Kings makes you hungry. That's a fact.
I guess Jesse, because I don't think you'll you'll be tapping in.
This must be
did you see? Did you see the Sutter Health Park on the show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you guys.
People were talking about underwhelming. Is it Matt George said they did the bare minimum.
What are you looking for?
Yeah, what you want? It's Sutter Health Park.
Maybe throw some apartment buildings in the back.
They're not up yet, so why would they put them up?
Yeah, I thought it looked fine.
I thought it was fine, too. Now, I mean, it depends on where the home run is. I need to see. That was just from center or from home plate.
Throw someone on a jump run, scooter in the background.
Tower Bridge? Can I see the Embassy Suites?
Throw the freeway. Is the freeway right there?
if you hit it high, like depending on the shot, yeah, you can see that it's freeway. Yeah, yeah.
Like I don't know, like what? Like, you wanted to do Upsetter Health Park and it won't be the show? Like,
well, I mean, what's it supposed to look
that's
like?
That's what I'm saying. We're saying it's pretty accurate. Look, they even got, yeah, they got buildings behind.
I think Matt is just going to perpetually be mad about everything that involves.
Do they melt at second base?
Yeah, Matt George is just going to find a way to
Matt
be angry.
Matt said MLB The Show 25 really did the bare minimum for Sutter Health Park. Looks like Sutter
what
Health
is,
Park
What is the maximum for Sutter Health Park and MLB The Show? What would you like?
Okay, no, so what did you want to see? What's terrific is I searched it on Twitter, and there's a view of the show that you're talking about, and then right below it, there's a video that Sean Cunningham filmed. It's the goddamn exact same thing. Like, oh, they did the, Matt George says they did the bare minimum. They did exactly what's there. You gotta see this. This is crazy. I don't know. It's literally the same exact thing.
Is that Matt or is it? Oh, yeah,
no,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah.
Look it. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, I'll say, yeah, you know what?
That's Sean Cunningham's video, and then that's the video game above it. It's the exact.
They actually hit it spot on.
There's nothing there.
Right. We actually spent a lot of time on this.
Oh, that's amazing.
Somebody in one of Matt's comments, like, zooms in over the right field fence, and they said, that's got to be Darling Avery over there.
Oh, I love this.
Oh, I know this one. Drew down. It's the same picture.
Thank you. What's that?
That's Pam.
Very good. Who's she talking to?
Michael Scott.
No, almost. Almost.
We got a little carrot. We got.
No, yeah, yeah, all right. We yeah, I guess we just take our wins where we can get
them. There
was
no chance he was going to get freed. No chance.
But, yeah.
Bow body.
He's a fool for that one.
Yeah, Casey, he was.
But no, I didn't. Well, now that you, maybe you'll go get a PS5 and go play on the show.
Yeah, what if we I'm going to go spend $500 to play.
What if we're running on Twitch? Is us playing video games?
Okay, let's see. Shout out. There is exactly 1025 people watching now. Hey. Oh, that's
gone. Don't look at.
There's we have 12 people on Twitch.
We can stream on YouTube. Though.
I don't even think I have access to Twitch anymore. I lost it like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, Twitch, honestly, like, you need to figure it out. You've been real.
We have to call Philadelphia every time we need access to Twitch.
I don't think we need to do that anymore.
Oh, you fixed it?
I might have the keys to it now.
Hey.
I need the keys to something else, man.
What else do you need?
I'm going to go to one of these games or something.
Oh, hey. So I asked about that this morning. Yeah, they're all gone the rest of the season.
Bruh.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
I don't know how.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Oh, boy. I don't know who's the majority of them.
Who's tapped in for Kings Grizzlies on the Thursday coming up? Who? Tell me.
Oh, boy. Had a half of them. How's that schedule?
I bet you Sal swooped on them.
I'll be there Monday. I'm going to find out who. Or the Celtics.
Yeah.
I'll find out who's there.
I would love to know who's a Celtics fan. Yeah.
I'll walk over. Hey. Are you a client? No? Hey. Come here. Regulating.
Can't get them
out. Yeah.
The lights be going off in this building, but they at the game.
Well, there's food or tickets.
Come on.
Yeah, well.
It's all good.
That's all right.
It's all good.
They ain't going to be forever. I tell you that. I tell you that. Your boy tapped in. It ain't going to be forever for some of you hoes. I'm in here talking about, let me get some tickets. All right.
But yeah, I thought that
you go
was
close
cool.
That deal and you can get some tickets.
But Matt cracked me up when I saw that. MLB The Show did the bare minimum.
Did an exact replica.
What are you looking for here?
I told you, Matt is just going to be angry about everything that involves the A's in Sacramento.
Yeah, I understand. Just, yeah.
I understand. That was a squad.
The A's are 160-0 here as the season starts to wrap up. Matt is going to find a way to be angry.
I understand. The only thing they didn't do, which they probably can't do because it's not up yet, is they don't have the scoreboard.
Yeah, they don't have the scoreboard to put up.
Now, what the framing of the scoreboard is there. You could have used your imagination.
What are those things called? Will you download updates?
Download updates.
Oh, that's what it's called? Okay, I thought it had a different name. Sorry. My bad.
You're with it now? You're with it?
Okay, good. Yeah, just
hey,
download updates.
With us.
Yeah, I am. Big video game guy here. That's what they've always said about me.
But big maybe so. Maybe it happens there. But they could have put the scoreboard. The framing is already up. The actual scoreboard isn't there, so you could have put it up there.
If I went out and bought a PlayStation 5 today.
Oh, we getting in the league. Yeah, we getting in the league. Come on.
They'd announce the PlayStation 6 on Tuesday. That's the way it's always worked in, like, my life.
By the way, you can build a stadium and it will be the show.
You can.
Like, you can. You want Sutter Health Park, it's there. Just a little imagination.
Well, it's already there.
You can put what, yeah, it's already, everything's there. The little pyramid building is there and everything.
Bare minimum.
Darling Avery is there and
that's
everything.
That's hilarious. There's, oh, if you squint, you can see DJ Abs.
There he is.
DJ
Abs.
You said you had two things. What's the other one?
The other was yesterday, for those just joining in, I was not on the show. I was at home sick, recovering from the sledgehammer to the face from trips.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But when I woke up,
Triple H, not Jeremy Lamb.
Right. When I woke up, it was about 12, 15 or so.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up, I'm in the bed, I turned the TV on, and I remember, I was like, oh, it's Thursday, Champ Week. There's hella games on right now. I watched the end of Arkansas, Mississippi, North Carolina, Wake Forest was on all that. And I got a little nostalgic because this isn't what happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But when young Casey was 15, 16, 17 years old, I mean, that Thursday is one of the great days of basketball, the basketball calendar, because everybody's playing from like 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. And I'd wake up some of them Thursdays. I must have left the fan on. I don't know if I can go today. And here I was, 20-some-odd years later, back home again.
I thought it was suspicious that at 4 o'clock, you're like, oh, I'm good, big dog. I'll see you tomorrow.
And he starts tweeting all of a sudden, huh?
I sit down. I catch my breath after carrying the load for two shows, and
Kenny's feeling good enough to tweet about AI championships and all that.
He's Instagramming sneakers, and it's like, okay.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.